We're going to finish Acts chapter 10, the book of Acts. We've been going through the book of Acts, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. And it's actually a great introduction into our missions month, because this morning we're going to talk about three things. Number one, the gospel is for everyone. Number two, Jesus is for everyone. And number three, the Holy Spirit is for everyone. So this morning, the gospel is for everybody. No exceptions. Jesus is for everybody. Again, no exceptions. And the Holy Spirit is for everyone, including you. So turn with me to Acts chapter 10. We're going to start where we left off last week, verse 34. Acts 10, verse 34. Then Peter replied, I see very clearly that God shows no favoritism. And every nation accepts those who fear him and do what is right. Last week, we learned that God does not judge people by background, race, status, or nationality. That God has no favorites. There's not an in-group and an out-group. Doesn't matter what the color of your skin is. Doesn't matter what kind of degree you have. It doesn't matter how many square feet you have in your house. It doesn't matter what kind of car you drive. It doesn't matter what kind of position you hold. God has no favorites. Every person has value because they were created in the image of God. Say that again. Every person that's born on this earth has value because they were created in the image of God. And here's the application point for this. If we believe that every person has value because they're created in the image of God, then we must be what I want to call a welcoming church. We need to be welcoming to all peoples. We have a vision statement as a church saying we want to be a healing place for all peoples. We're not a healing place for some people and not other people. We want to be a place for healing for all people. And to do that, we've got to make sure that when people come to our church, they feel welcomed. I want to highlight one of our ministries. It's called First Impressions. First Impressions are ushers and our greeters, the people help with the Welcome Center. If you are a part of our First Impressions ministry, you're one of our ushers or one of our greeters, would you stand right now? If you do it once a month, would you stand? Can we give all of them a big hand if they're part of our First Impressions team? Amen. You can be seated. Those who stood, I want you to know what you do is so important. Because you know what research tells us? People decide within the first 10 minutes when they come onto campus if they're coming back or not. Do you know that? They decide if they're coming back or not before I ever get up and preach. One of the reasons you always see me out there every Sunday, cold, hot, whatever. One, it kills me to think someone's going to walk in our church and not be greeted. I mean, it just kills me. I can't do it. But second of all, I want every person who walks to this church knows their pastor cares about them. I've been trying at the end of service to get out. Some of you are quicker than I am. I can't get out there before you leave. Slow down a little bit so I can say goodbye to you when you leave. Because you know what research also tells us? It's just as important to say goodbye to people as it is to say hello to people when they visit a church. It's just important to say goodbye. So if you're part of our First Impressions teams, I want to encourage you. Make sure you help us say goodbye to people. When we do our meet and greet everyone, when I say meet someone you don't know and greet those around you, do that. Because you never know who's coming in the doors of our church. You never know what they've been through. You never know what they've been. You never know what's going inside of them when they walk in the doors of our church. And we want to make sure no matter where they're at, that we welcome them. Second of all, if you're not part of our First Impressions team, we invite you to do that. That's the easiest ministry to do. All you got to be able to do is pass out a bulletin or shake someone's hand and say, good morning. So my wife, Stan, my wife's here. She's part of the, if you want to be part of our First Impressions team, see her after service, and we will connect you to the right people because we want to be a welcoming church. Now, when I say that, here's what I want. We want to love people. We want to accept people where they are. But love them enough not to leave them there. Catch that. We want to accept people where they are, but love them enough not to leave them there. You say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? It means when people walk in the doors of this church, it's a no judgment zone. We're not going to judge them. But we love them enough not to leave them in their sin. See, listen, it's not love to have someone be in sin and not say anything about it. That's actually cruelty. If we know someone's living in sin and we don't say anything about it, that's not compassion, that's cruelty. I've given this illustration before of a cancer doctor, and he had a patient that he knew, it's a close friend, and they did the test, and it turned out positive that his friend had cancer. But he didn't want to hurt his friend's feelings, so he didn't tell him. Say, I don't want to get him upset. I don't want to hurt his feelings. He's going to get all cries. I don't want to do that. So I'm just not going to tell him he has cancer. Is that a good doctor or a bad doctor? That's a bad doctor. We know what church is the same way. Because sin is a spiritual cancer. And if we know someone's got sin in our life, so we accept them where they're at, but we don't leave them where they are. We get them on a journey towards Jesus. And I've learned, you know, there's different kinds of churches, but here's what I've learned. Love tends to get people towards Jesus more than judgment does. And so we preach the truth. You know me, I go through books of the Bible, chapter by chapter, verse by verse. The Bible says it, we're going to say it. You know, we just do the Bible, right? We're going through the book of Acts right now. So if it says it, we say it. If it doesn't say it, we don't cover it. We just cover what the Bible says. We've got to love people enough to preach the truth. So it's that thing of love, speak the truth in love. That's what the Bible teaches. We speak truth, but we do it in a loving way. I know some churches, I hear them, and I might miss the love. Sounds like a whole lot of hate. Sounds like a whole lot of hate. And you know what? I've just never seen hate draw people towards Jesus, because Jesus didn't interact with people that way, did he? Remember the woman at the well? She had been with five men. She's now with someone new, and Jesus did not condemn her. He loved her, but he transformed her life. And we've got to be the same way. We don't compromise truth. This is the Bible. It's the Word of God. If it says it's right, it's right. If it says it's wrong, we're never going to compromise on this right here. This is our textbook. But you know what? We're going to love every person that walks in that door. If they don't accept Christ, it's not going to be because of two things. One, it's not going to be because we didn't love them. And number two, it's not because we didn't tell them the truth. When they die and they're on judgment day and they go to heaven, they're going to know First Assembly loved me and First Assembly told me the truth. And if I didn't accept Christ, that's on me. But we're going to do those two things. We're going to love them. And we're going to preach the truth. We're going to preach the Bible. And I want us, listen, the good news is not for some people. We're a healing place for all people. So we're going to love every person that walks in the doors of the church, and we're going to preach the Bible to them. Amen? So number one, the gospel is for everyone. Number two, Jesus is for everyone. Look what Peter says in verse 36. This is the message of the good news for the people of Israel, that there's peace with God through who? The only way you can ever have peace with God is through Jesus Christ. That's the Bible. And he's Lord of all. You know what happened throughout Judea, beginning in Galilee, after John began preaching the message of baptism. Verse 38 is a huge verse at Acts 10. Look at verse 38. And you know that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with what? The Holy Spirit. And with power. And Jesus around doing good, healing all who were oppressed by the devil. For what? God was with him. How did Jesus do his miracles in the Bible? So we know Jesus was deity, he was God, but what the Bible teaches is that when Jesus was born as a baby, when he became a human being, he set aside his deity. So in verse 38, it says Jesus went around doing good, oppressed all the devil, because God was with him. And here's why this was important. Because Jesus is an example to us. How do we, as believers, do good? God is with us. He anointed Jesus with the Holy Spirit. If Jesus needed to be anointed with the Holy Spirit, and if Jesus needed God to be with him, how much more do we need the Holy Spirit, and how much more do we need God to be with us? So Acts chapter 10, verse 38 is a very important principle about ministry today. It's not done through our own efforts. It's done through the power of God. So that means man doesn't get credit. Man doesn't get credit for anything that God does, because he can do nothing. If you're reading your one-year Bible, and I hope you're reading it, we read 2 Corinthians chapter 3 this week. It says, we are not sufficient in ourselves, but our sufficiency comes from God. That means we're not capable to do anything for God on our own. Our capacity comes from God. And so Jesus went around. Now look with me in verse 39. And the apostles were witness of all he did throughout Judea and Jerusalem. They put him to death. Jesus died by hanging him on a cross. Why was Jesus hung on the cross? Because he sinned? No. Because he committed a crime? No. Why was Jesus hung on the cross? Because of your sins. The things you did you knew you shouldn't do was put on Jesus, and he was put on the cross. But I love this word, but God. Aren't you glad that's there? The cross was not the end. Sometimes I see, there's nothing wrong with it, but sometimes I'm bothered by all the little figures that had Jesus on the cross. He ain't on the cross no more, friend. He's off the cross. But God raised him from to life on the third day. Now look at this. How do we know this is true? Again, this was written just a few, 40, 50 years after Jesus' death. So look at this. Then God allowed him to appear, not to the general public, but to us whom God has chosen in advance to be his witnesses. We are those who ate with Jesus and drank with Jesus after he rose from the dead. Huge. How do we know the resurrection is real? Because after the resurrection, Jesus ate and drank with people. At one point in Corinthians, it says at one time, he met with 500 people at once. So this again, this was written just 40 or 50 years after Jesus' death. So when Luke wrote this, if this wasn't true, people have been saying, that's not true. No one ate and drank with him. That's historically wrong. But you know what? That never happened. Why? Because we know Jesus rose from the dead because he appeared to people. He appeared to Peter. He appeared to John. He appeared at one time to 500 people. I want you to know, you can be sure that the death and resurrection of Jesus is not a fable, but it's a fact. And listen to me, your whole life depends upon that. Is the death and resurrection of Jesus, was it real, was it fact, or was it a fable? This last Saturday, I did a funeral, not yesterday, but the week before, for Bob Finley. And Bob and Lula Finley had been in church their whole life, and knew Lisa and Teresa and them. I did the service. Some of you don't remember them. They were back in the 80s and then that. And Bob passed away at 96 years old. 90, he lived a long time. His daughters, he has twin daughters, Lisa and Teresa, some of you remember them. They came up and honored their dad and talked about their dad. Do you know how old Bob was when he accepted Christ? 94. Lisa and Teresa flew in. Think about this. They flew in when their dad started getting sick. In the hospital bed, they talked to their dad and said, Dad, you're coming to the end of your life. And he ended up living two more years. And Bob Finley, 94 years old, accepted Jesus as Savior. And I'm telling you, that made all the difference in that funeral. Because if he hadn't done that, that funeral would have been a goodbye. It would have been really hard. But you know what? We did not say goodbye to Bob Finley last Saturday. We said, see you later. And I want you to know there's a big difference at a funeral between saying goodbye and saying see you later. Because Bob Finley accepted Christ at 94 years old. We are able to say, Bob, I'll see you later. It's going to be down the road, but I'll see you and Lula in heaven, and we'll celebrate together. We said see you later, not goodbye. And I want to ask you this. If you would go today, would it be a goodbye? Let me see you later. That's the most important question you'll ever ask in your life. Would it be a goodbye? It's over. Is that what you believe? When you close your last eyes for the last time and breathe your last breath, do you believe it's over? So thankful I don't. In that service after hearing Lisa and Teresa's testimony, as they were going by the casket, I went by and looked at Bob. I'll see you later, Bob. I'll see you later. And my hope as your pastor, that when it's your day, I don't want to say goodbye to you. I want to say see you later. I hope it's a little while. I hope my time's not too soon, but I want to see you later. I don't want to say goodbye. So how about you? Is heaven a fable we tell to make people feel better when they lose someone they love? Or is heaven a fact that people really go to? Which is it? Is it a fable or a fact? Is it goodbye or see you later? Most important decision you ever make in your life. See, Jesus died on the cross and rose again so your sins could be forgiven. He wasn't crucified for his sins. He had no sin, but he was crucified for your sins so that you can accept him by faith, so that when you breathe your last breath and you close your eyes the last time, it is not a goodbye. It is a see you later. If you're here today and you're not ready, today could be your day. 94 years old. You know what I think? If you talked to Bob today, I think he'd say two things. One, I think he's really glad he accepted Christ at 94. You know what else I think he'd say? Wish I'd done it sooner. Wish I wouldn't have been so stubborn and waited so long. I wish I'd done it when I was 20 years old. Wish I'd done it when I was 40 years old. Today, Bob realizes it's the only thing that really matters. You bow your head and close your eyes. I don't want to move on. We're not done with the sermon yet. Don't get your hopes up. I want to ask you, if today's your day, is it a goodbye or see you later? And if you're here this morning, you say, Pastor Kevin, I don't know if I'm right with God. I've got sin in my life, and I need to be forgiven. And I need God to forgive me now, because when I breathe my last breath, when I close my eyes the last time, I don't want it to be a goodbye. I want it to be a see you later. And I don't want to wait till I'm 94 years old, because friend, you're not guaranteed 94 years. I'm glad Bob lived that long, but we don't know that. So as your pastor, I have an obligation, a responsibility to you to give you an opportunity to receive Christ as your Savior, to have your sins forgiven. So it's not a goodbye. It's a see you later. That's you, will you raise your hand right now? Come on, raise your hand. You know you need to get right with God today. Is there anybody in this sanctuary? I just felt like I can't go any further. I can't go any further until I give you an opportunity to accept Jesus as your Savior. Is there anybody? Is there anybody? Okay, look back at me. You know what the application for this for our church is? Application one, we want to be a welcoming church. Number two, we've got to be a church on mission. We have a very distinct mission as a church. We're to reach the people who live around us with the gospel. We're to tell them about Jesus. We haven't prayed for it the last few weeks, but on that prayer wall back there, there are hundreds of names of people that we know and love who don't know Christ. We have a responsibility to tell people about Jesus. We have a responsibility as a church to do what we just did, that every Sunday we give people an opportunity to accept Christ. It's not my job to get people to accept or not accept. That's the Holy Spirit's job. But it's our responsibility as a church to every Sunday give people an opportunity to receive Christ or reject Christ. You know what? You have a responsibility as a believer to tell people about Jesus. Do you want to encourage me about Bob Finley? Lisa and Teresa have been witnessing to their dad their whole life. You know what Bob Finley taught me? Don't give up on anybody. He may be 94 years, but he came to Jesus. I want to encourage you. If you've got somebody in your life who's far from God, don't you dare give up on them. Who knows what day will be their day? Can I get an amen? So we want to tell people in the Henderson County, in our tri-state area, we're responsible for sharing Jesus to our area. And we're also responsible, listen, this is about missions, to send people where we are not. So we send people to our world like you sent Kathy and I when we were missionaries. We send people to Africa. We send people to India. We send people to China. We send people to Latin America, because Jesus isn't just for some people. He's for all peoples. So missions is not an option for a church. Missions is not a tag along for a church. Missions is the focus. It's the purpose of the church. We're to reach people across the street and to reach people across the sea. It's not one or the other. Some churches tend to be really good at one or the other. They're really good at missions and sending people overseas, but they're not so good at reaching people locally. Or they're really good locally reaching people for Christ, but they're not so good at sending missionaries around the world. And listen, that's not acceptable. It's not acceptable. We've got to do both. Missions is reaching people across the street and across the sea. And we do both. So here's what we're going to do right now. We're going to pray for that prayer wall. We're going to pray that every name on that wall comes to Jesus. And if you have someone that's far from God, I want you to put them on that wall. because we're going to keep praying for them. Would you pray with me? Father, right now, we come to you for every name on that wall. Those are family members. Those are friends. Those are neighbors, colleagues. God, there are people on that wall that we love dearly who are far from you. And Father, we claim them for you, and we ask as a church that you empower us to reach our tri-state area with the good news of Jesus Christ. We pray that you empower us to be a church that sees lost people saved. So God, help us to be a welcoming church. When those people walk in the doors of this building, I pray they'll be loved by us and accepted. But I also pray the gospel be preached with an anointing, and God, we'll see men and women and teenagers and boys and girls come to the saving knowledge of Jesus. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen. So number one, the gospel's for everyone. Number two, Jesus, thank God, is for everyone. Aren't you glad that Jesus aren't just for some people and not others? Because if there was people who's excluded, that might include me. Truth about me as your pastor, I didn't deserve to go to heaven. I deserved to go to hell. I was a sinner just like anybody else. No better than it. I'm just saved by grace like anyone else. Having reverend in front of my name doesn't make me any more entitled to go to heaven than anyone else. I'm just a person who at 9 years old realized he was a sinner, asked God to forgive me, and I'm going to heaven by the grace of God, not because of anything I did. Amen? We want to be a healing place for all people, not some people. But here's the last point. The gospel's for everyone. That's why we do missions. Jesus is for everyone. That's why we do missions. Number three, the Holy Spirit is for everyone. And worship team, you can make your way up. Look with me at verse 44. Even as Peter was saying these things, so he's preaching about Jesus to Cornelius and his family, the Holy Spirit fell upon all who were listening to the message. The Holy Spirit fell all who were listening to the message. The Jewish believers who came with Peter were amazed. Look at this, that the gift, notice the Holy Spirit's a gift. The gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured out on Gentiles too. Look with me at verse 46, huge verse. For they heard them speaking in other tongues and praising God. Let me ask you, how did Peter and the disciples know that the Holy Spirit had fell upon people? They spoke in other tongues. Do you see that? When the Holy Spirit fell on people. So sometimes, you know, especially in a community where maybe a lot of our churches teach, that's not for today. And I'm not here to debate you about that and anything like that. I just want you to know, it's in the Bible. It's in the Bible. It says they're amazed the gift of the Holy Spirit had been poured on the Gentiles too, for they heard them what? Speaking of tongues means they began to speak in a language they had not learned. That the Holy Spirit empowered them to speak in a prayer language they had not learned on their own. And again, I'm not here to debate you. We're just going to teach the Bible. So it's not about being a Baptist church or an Assembly of God church or a Presbyterian church or an independent church or a non-denominational church. When we get to heaven, none of that stuff's going to matter. When you get to heaven, there's not a Baptist corner, a Pentecostal corner, a Catholic corner, a Methodist corner. None of that's going to matter when we get to heaven. All that matters to me, and all, I hope all that matters to you, is we believe what the Bible says. Now, back on the screen, turn me to Acts chapter 2. Get on the screen there. This is the first time the Holy Spirit came on someone. It's in Acts chapter 2. Look at it. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers are meeting together in one place. So there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where it was sitting. And what looked like flames of tongues or fire appeared and set on each of them. And everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began doing what? Speaking in other languages. As who gave them the ability? The Holy Spirit. See, the Holy Spirit is not a respecter of persons. So the gospel, the Bible, is for everybody. Jesus is for everybody. You know what? The Holy Spirit is for everybody. So in our first application point, we said if we're going to be, if the gospel's for everybody, we've got to be a what kind of church? Welcoming church, right? If Jesus is for everybody, we've got to be a mission-focused church. We've got to tell people across the street and across the sea about Jesus. We have that obligation, responsibility, right? But if the Holy Spirit's for everyone, what does that mean? That means you need to make room in your life for the Holy Spirit. Make room in your life for the ministry of the Holy Spirit. You say, well, do I have to speak in tongues? You don't have to do anything. I'm not here to judge you. Our church believes that speaking in tongues is the initial evidence of receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But you know what we're never going to do? It's force it on you. What I hope as I speak today is that you'll become receptive to it. Not because we're a Pentecostal church, but because it's in the Bible. And I hope if it's in the Bible, you'll just say, you know what, God, if you want that from me, I'm good. See, listen, I can't fill you with the Holy Spirit, and I can't make you speak in tongues, and I wouldn't try if I could. Because you know what? If someone forces that on you, it won't stick. You'll think it's fake later, and you'll just walk away from it, and it'll mean nothing to you. We're just not going to do that. See, I believe guilt and manipulation are horrible motivators. So I'm not here to guilt you into doing anything. I'm not here to manipulate you into doing anything. We're just teaching the Bible. In Acts chapter 10, how did they know the Holy Spirit came upon them? They spoke in tongues. In Acts chapter 2, what happened when the Holy Spirit came upon them? They spoke in tongues. It's in the Bible. That's all I'm saying. I'm just asking you to make room for him. That if that's something God has for you, will you have open arms and open hands and saying, God, if you want me to experience that, I'm not going to close you off because I was raised a certain way or certain people say this. Or again, it's not about what a denomination says. It's not about a certain preacher says. It's not about Calvinism or man. It's about the Bible. Look at me. Put up the verses in Joel chapter 2 that we're going to pray. I love this. Because this in the Old Testament predicted what happened in the New Testament. Okay, we're teaching the Bible here, just the Bible. Joel 2, then after doing all these things, I will pour out my spirit upon who? All people. Does that include you? You know what? I'm not a Hebrew scholar, but you know what that word all means? It means you. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Isn't it amazing that women prophesied? Again, there's a lot of controversy in the Bible. Can women prophesy? Well, Joel says, when I pour out my spirit on all people, your sons and daughters will prophesy. That's the Bible. Ladies, I'm letting you know, you can prophesy. You can speak under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. Your old man will dream dreams and your young man will see visions. So now we got men and women, and we got young and old. In those days, I'll pour out my spirit even on my what? That's economic. It's everybody, right? So now we've got daughters and sons, men and women. We've got old and young generations, and we've got servants, rich and poor. I think that kind of includes all of us, right? Men and women. See, Joel wanted to make that one really clear. He says it twice. Men and women alike. Men and women alike. So again, I don't care what a denomination says. I don't care what a famous preacher says. I declare what the Bible says. Women will prophesy. Women will speak under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. That's what that word prophecy means. Speak under the anointing of the Holy Spirit, the Word of God. Women can prophesy. Men and women alike. So I'm going to ask our prayer team to come forward. This morning, if you would like to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, we're going to have the opportunity to do that. Now again, we're not going to force you. We want you to move at your own pace. Spiritually, I want you to move at your own pace. So this is an opportunity. I encourage you to take it. But if you'd like to receive it, we're going to ask you to come up and be prayed for. We've got some wonderful people who are trained who will pray for you. We're not going to guilt you. Second of all, we don't have a hierarchy here. I don't believe that people who speak in tongues are more spiritual than people who don't. Say that again. I don't believe that people who speak in tongues are more spiritual than people who don't. Remember, it was a gift, right? So it's a gift, you can't take credit for it. Like, hey, God gave me a gift, I'm better than you. No, it's a gift. You don't deserve a gift, right? So we don't believe that. Not a hierarchy. Listen, no pressure, no guilt, no manipulation. Just an opportunity. Just an opportunity. And that's a decision for you to make. You know what? I respect you. I respect you that you're here today because you want to grow in your relationship with God, and I respect you to take those steps as the Holy Spirit leads you. I 100% respect you. And I ain't going to treat you like some kid. Amen? So let's stand. Our worship team's going to lead us in worship. We ask all of you worship. If you would like to be prayed for to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, just come down. They'll pray for you. Father, I just pray right now. Lord, if there's anyone here today that says, I would like to receive the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in a language I haven't learned, God, I pray that you would pour out your Spirit, that you would fill them with your presence and your power. And God, we thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen.